You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, May 14th, and a good morning for Senator Hillary Clinton, who won an overwhelming victory in the West Virginia primary.
She's a coal miner's daughter. This morning.
Not exactly.
Well, but
she's feeling pretty happy because she really walloped Barack Obama,
which is
to say she got 67% of the vote and he got 26% of the vote. And just a couple of interesting notes. One is New York Times says that in polling folks, 2 out of 10 said that race was an important factor there in West Virginia. Barely a third of Clinton supporters said they'd vote for Barack Obama over Republican John McCain in a November matchup, which brings us to the issue of the map of the United States and what we've learned through these primaries that we may not have expected. And here to talk with us about that is Andrea Bernstein, the Takeaway political director. And what do we know now, Andrea, that we didn't before?
Good morning. You know, who'd have thunk, right, when we began this process that the Chardonnay-sipping Clintons, which was their image through much of the 1990s, would become the champions of Appalachia and the poorest of the poor Americans who are voting in these primaries. These trends have emerged. I mean, Barack Obama has done better and better and better among African-American voters. He's now getting over 90% in African-American communities, and she's doing better and better and better in these white communities. And she almost she said so last week, obviously, creating a, quite a kerfuffle, which
kerfuffle.
Her campaign has admitted was a blunder. But it is a divide that's emerged. And yesterday I was talking to a number of political consultants, some of whom worked for Barack Obama, and they were really trying hard to dismiss it, saying, well, look, if you look at the general election polls, Obama's doing just as well as Clinton. So we are going to have to try to reach out to some of these people. And they were saying, look, you know, when push comes to shove, we're going to say McCain's running for Bush's third term. Bush has not been a friend to you. So who are you going to vote for?
So, but does this divide just kind of go away and become something else for the November election? Or does, you know, if it is a racial divide, and we don't really know that at this point because it's also a class divide possibly if we look at the economics, does John McCain inherit it?
Well, I think that it would be wrong and ignorant to say that race is not involved in any way. Clearly, there is a racial element to this. But there's also this economic factor. And a lot of these people that I've met on the campaign trail, I mean, these are people for whom $5 a gallon gas is an impossible and yet rapidly approaching reality. Mm-hmm. And they feel that Clinton is the one that is going to take care of them. Part of that is obviously about race, but, you know, part of it is about the dynamics of the primary. And, you know, primary and this race has been so long about these two people and mm-hmm. their positions, and that creates a reality. We do have some time to go till November.
So long. But I think we have to be careful when we talk about how race matters in this political primary season, because the bottom line is African Americans make up 13% of the population. There is no way in the world that they could have alone, or we could have alone, put Barack Obama ahead.
Clearly.
In terms of the percentages and in terms of the reliability of African Americans voting Democrat, I mean, those things are a fundamental fact that the Democratic candidates have to address and have been addressing in some way.
And is this a day that the Obama campaign would have wanted to face where they got 26% and everybody, you know, after he's been all but declared the nominee? Clearly no. But a lot of what they were saying to me yesterday is that there is some healing that has to be done. And they have pointed out, they really want to talk about the economic roots of this issue. They've pointed out that Obama has done best among whites in states with very low African-American populations, Nebraska, Iowa, a lot of the states, the northern plain states and some of those Midwest states. So there is an economic argument that they want to make. When people are feeling pinched, race emerges as more of a factor in some of these states.
But what's interesting is when you do look at the map, when you look at counties where Hillary Clinton has done extraordinarily well, when you're talking about West Virginia all the way through to Appalachia, as you just mentioned, it's extraordinary how there is this line that you can trace, right?
Well, they just love her. I mean, one of the things that has become
from like Western New York all the way to Arkansas.
It's an amazing phenomenon. And you know, one of the things about this race that's become a little bit distressing is how these demographics seem to predict people. And you know, you go to these counties and you go to Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and people are increasingly saying it's out. She's it's over. She's out.
Well, the
and
amazing thing is
they
it's,
love
it's,
her.
It's
they
about
love
counties.
Her.
It's about counties. So, I mean, remember in 2004 and in 2000, you had people going over the state by state red blue map. Now you've got got these like new political junkies obsessing over the county by county maps.
Right. I mean, I still think
that's what's being downloaded off the internet.
We're still in May. The general election is still in November, and that is an eternity to redefine some of these things.
We first have to get through this primary process, but what is interesting, you were just talking about that dichotomy of it's time for Hillary Clinton to get out, all those voices, and let's see what she had to say given the results, her results in West Virginia.
I am more determined than ever to carry on this campaign until everyone has had a chance to make their voices heard.
Andrew, here's something. She's more determined than ever.
She's a very determined senator, that's for sure. But what's really interesting is we spoke to a West Virginia reporter a little bit earlier, and she said from the folks that she talked to, they do believe in West Virginia that Senator Hillary Clinton has a chance to win the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, and I saw that in New York on her Mother's Day speech. I mean, people are like, she can still win it. You and the media have completely got it wrong. One of the really interesting things about that speech last night was that it was the clearest articulation I've heard yet from Hillary Clinton of her argument to the superdelegates. Without attacking Barack Obama, she still said, I think I'm the stronger nominee. I think I can win, and I think I have the better case to make to Americans in November. And that is really the big catch out there now, is the superdelegates. And
but
if you want to know what she's saying,
they're not really buying it.
He's reaping them.
But she also added in her speech, which we've seen her do more often, is that she's committed to putting a Democrat back in the White House, and that she said, quote, I will work my heart out for the nominee of the Democratic Party to make sure we have a Democratic president. We've been hearing that more frequently.
But the message that she needs to deliver is, I know you don't want to vote for Barack Obama. The exit polls show that you're resistant, but you got to get on board. She's not making that argument. She's saying, I'll work for the Democrat, which the implied thing is, as long as it's me.
Well, no.
I've
heard her. I mean,
All
the
right.
speech has evolved.
All right.
One of the really interesting things last night is as she was wrapping up her speech, she told a story, which I've heard her tell many times before, about women who were born before the right to vote, getting their first chance to vote for a woman president. She talked about this woman, Florence Breen from South Dakota, who voted for Hillary Clinton on her deathbed and actually passed away last week. And I think we have a little clip of this, but one of the really interesting things about it is behind her was a woman who was absolutely sobbing, and the sort of emotion for some women for this race coming to an end. You can hear it in these remarks.
Florence passed on a few days ago, but I am eternally grateful to her and her family for making this such an important an incredible milestone in her life that means so much to me.
Andrea Bernstein, the Takeaway Political Director. Thank you, Andrea. We're going to be
demographics.
There's so much more to come. It's not over yet.
No,
there's more to come on this. So we'll see you later.
Kentucky next week.
Kentucky and Oregon.
That's right. Thank you, Andrea.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.